The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 24. The fight fizzles, but then... Vera pulled out her cowboy pistol and aimed it at Bobson.
"Stop or I'll shoot."
She glanced at Ernie, who had his camera aimed our way.
"Always wanted to say that."
Bobson's mouth twisted as if he were snarling. Somehow it seemed to be a better fit for him than his constant smile.
"I am on the Lord's mission."
He lunged ahead, the stick ready to spear Meg. I saw Vera's finger tighten on the trigger and wished I had hands I could put over my ears. Bobson was only 3 feet away when the gun went off, and he was blown off his feet to sprawl on his back in the aisle. The stake left his hand, it clattered into a pew and slid to the floor. There was a small black hole in his white suit, right about where his heart was. Meg said, "You killed him?" Vera blew smoke from the muzzle of her gun and then said,
"You're forgetting what we are."
Bobson stirred and then got to his feet. Meg took a step back.
"We're zombies?"
Vera cocked her pistol and held it at the ready.
"No, with zombies, a hole or two doesn't matter. Besides, zombies are fictional. Most holes in a V don't matter much either, but I think I got him right in the heart."
Bobson rubbed his belly, took a breath, and moaned. The blood hunger was on him. He stepped forward, his gaze locked on Meg's mom. He licked his lips. Raising the pistol, Vera aimed at his head and said,
"You're not going to be much of a preacher without a face."
Bobson stopped. Vera dug into a pocket and then tossed him a roll of Death Savers. Bobson's principles dissolved in the pain of bloodlust, something I understood very well. He ripped open the roll of blood rings and downed them all. His body relaxed. Vera said,
"Watch this."
A spurt of blood bubbled from the hole in the prophet's white suit and ran red down his front. With the rhythm of a beating heart, more spurts came. He looked down, touched the blood with a fingertip, and his face twisted with pain. He needed a plumber. Badly. He gripped his stomach and doubled over.
"It hurts."
He looked up at the ceiling.
"Why me, Lord?"
I thought maybe it had something to do with the fact that he was an asshole. With a silent scream, he fell to the floor and writhed. I knew that pain and almost felt sorry for him. I didn't know how it would end, but it had to be nasty. Bobson cried out,
"This isn't right!"
I didn't know much about the God thing, being more in the Mother Nature camp myself, but I thought Bobson had this one wrong. Vera turned to Meg and me.
"This isn't going to be pretty. If he doesn't get blood into his system, which isn't going to happen with that hole in his heart, the virus will consume his flesh before it dies out."
Ginger Grant said to Ernie, "Get this, you gotta get this." Bobson cried out,
"I am coming to the Lord."
Most of the congregation sat in pews, enjoying the rush after eating their Death Sabers, a few of them still searching the floor for more. A voice said,
"Amen."
Another voice added,
"So long."
Bobson said,
"I don't want to go."
Meg said, "Patch, what do you say to getting out of here?"
"Murr."
Vera holstered her pistol.
"Come on back to the AVA with me. You'll be safe there."
Judging from recent experience, I didn't think there was safety anywhere. I'd been attacked and nearly mutilated at the AVA, although there'd been worse since then. But now that Sammy was ashes, I was willing to give it a try. And I did like the way Meg held me, stroking my back with a gentle touch. Bobson now jittered on the floor with major convulsions, and I thought I glimpsed a hole open in one cheek before he flopped onto his face. When Meg and Vera started up the aisle, Grant said to Ernie,
"You've got plenty of writhing and feasting on blood?"
"Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm a little disgusted. But I could cut together something that looks like it came straight from Buffy."
Grant called out,
"Miss Murrow, how about an interview?"
Meg stopped and turned back.
"All right, but outside."
Outside, on the church steps, Ernie got in front of us and held up a hand to stop.
"That's good."
He glanced up at a street light.
"Got enough light."
The vampires from the AVA filed out of the church and created a little audience on the steps below us. A half dozen of the former prophet's followers joined them. Grant stepped next to Meg and said into her microphone, Ginger Grant here, speaking to Meg Murrow, vampire candidate for the city council. We've just left the stunning apparent demise of Reverend Pat Bobson, self-proclaimed prophet of the Righteous Christian Church. Any comment, Meg Murrow? She thrust the microphone at Meg. It hovered just above my face. Meg shrugged. What goes around comes around. I added a murr. Cats have a special appreciation for poetic justice. Tell me, Miss Murrow, what are your campaign plans now that your fellow vampires, Tom and Tim Conway, have entered the race for a seat on the council? Meg squared her shoulders and lifted her chin. I'm going to fight every way I can. Too many Bloomsburg citizens are denied their rights, and I'm not just talking about vampires. She glanced out at me, gave me a scratch behind the ears, and looked back to the camera. For example, what about cats? They could be snatched off the street and put to death. Don't they have a right to life? To protection from murder? You go, girl. Grant said, but wasn't your cat Patches his name? Well, technically speaking, it wasn't, but I liked it. Wasn't Patch arrested for murdering a certain innocent little poodle? Darned if I didn't see a tear well in one of Grant's eyes. I'll never understand people who love yappy little dogs, but I respect their right to do so. Meg said, it was self-defense, and the court said so. It was a rare instance of a cat receiving the due process of law. She gazed out at the audience and raised her voice. I intend to see that justice is no longer a rarity for the minorities of Bloomsburg. Applause and whistles erupted from the crowd, and Ernie swung his camera to take it in. It looked like we had the vampire vote, and this interview would be great exposure for Meg. Maybe we had a chance. Maybe my associate would be able to provide me with the life, so to speak, that I deserved. Tires squealed on the pavement, and a black Hummer limousine pulled up to the curb. Daddy Greenbanks' toady, big guy, got out of the shotgun seat and opened the rear door. He helped Daddy out, and then Daddy pointed at us and said something. Big guy trotted up the steps, pulling a pistol from under his suit coat as he came. He stopped beside Ernie and put the muzzle of the gun to Ernie's temple. Big guy said, stop. Ernie lowered his camera until it hung by his side. I noticed that the little red light in front still glowed, and that the camera lens tilted up, pointing our way. Looking like a tall bulldog, Daddy Greenbanks made his way up the steps. When he reached us, he took a cigar from his inside coat pocket and lit up. He smiled at Meg, but his eyes had a nasty squint to them.
You wouldn't be talking to the press about running for the city council, would you?
I am. Unless I'm mistaken, we still have free speech around here. Daddy glanced at Big Guy, his pistol still at Ernie's temple. I got the feeling that she was mistaken. He turned to Ginger Grant.
You're wasting your time with her. She won't be running anymore the way I see it. I'm backing the best vampire candidate.
He tapped an ash from his cigar. I was glad I wasn't breathing. The smell of cigar smoke is one of the planet's most noxious odors, as far as cats are concerned. The idea of carrying around a little fire and inhaling smoke that causes a fatal disease has always seemed, well, less than intelligent to me. Maybe he would ignite. Grant said,
so who should I be interviewing? The Conway twins. It's a great deal. The city gets two new council members for the price of one.
Meg said, you promised to back me. Where's your integrity? Even Ernie, with a gun in his head, laughed at that one. Daddy held his hand out toward Ernie.
I'll take that tape now.
Ernie said, I can't do that. The lens was aimed at Daddy, and the red light still shined. Daddy said,
Herman, what caliber is that pistol you're holding to this idiot's head?
Big guy, Herman, said, 9mm.
And what will it do if it accidentally goes off?
Pretty much blow his brains out. Ernie swallowed hard. Vera said,
hey, Daddy, how would you like to become a vampire?
He snorted cigar smoke and laughed.
Are you kidding? I've got a great life.
She signaled to the AVA members to come closer, and they moved up the steps.
Well, I'm thinking that we have a life-for-a-life thing going here. Your goon puts the gun away.
Or we give you a new look at life from another side, the grave side.
Danny's eyes widened, and he glanced at the vampires crowding near. Hey, there was George from the 7-Eleven. He licked his lips and smiled at Daddy. The smile looked hungry. Daddy turned back to Vera, and then his face relaxed into a smug grin.
How about you and all your members are blackballed from getting any job in Bloomsburg? You can do that?
He blew a smoke ring in answer. Vera held up a hand, and the vampire stopped. She glanced at Meg, and then shrugged. Daddy said,
Give me the tape.
Cats, being live-and-let-live creatures, hate bullies. This guy needed to be taken down a notch or two, and Vera's threat gave me an idea. I twisted in Meg's arms, braced my hind feet against her belly, and leaped for Daddy's shoulder. I prided myself on my leaps, and for good reason. I landed lightly, braced myself with one paw across the back of his neck, and leaned in. I placed my fangs against his throat with enough pressure for him to feel it, but not to break the skin. He swung a hand at me. Meg shouted,
Freeze or you're dead!
He froze. She said,
I mean, undead. If Patch's fangs break your skin, the virus will enter your bloodstream and then it's goodbye heartbeat.
I wondered if that was all it would really take, but it sounded convincing to me. Meg projected a certain authority when she wanted to. Daddy lowered his threatening hand to his side. Vera stepped close to Herman.
The gun.
The big guy looked at Daddy and raised his eyebrows. I tightened my jaws. Daddy nodded, and Herman handed her the gun. Ernie let out a long sigh. Vera tucked the pistol in her waistband and drew her own.
I think you folks had better be moving on.
Daddy sneezed, and then said,
Get this thing off me.
Thing? I was tempted to prick him with a fang just to see what happened, but I gave his neck a lick instead. He shrieked, and I leaped down. I scampered back to Meg's side while Daddy pointed to his neck and gibbered at Herman.
Am I bleeding? Did he do it?
Herman peered and shook his head. Daddy said to Meg and Vera,
All right, we're leaving. But you show that interview and you're out of work forever.
Ginger Grant said,
That's KDBC's video, and you can't stop me from airing it.
Greenbanks grinned again.
How do you think your boss will feel when all local advertising is yanked from your two-bit station?
Grant said to Ernie, Got that? Ernie said,
Got it.
He lifted his camera, put it on his shoulder, and pointed it at Ginger. She lifted her microphone and said,
This is KTBC reporter Ginger Grant, bringing you exclusive footage of leading citizen and businessman Daddy Greenbanks blackmailing a candidate and threatening assault with a deadly weapon.
Daddy held up his hands.
All right, but you don't play that tape. That's blackmail.
Grant continued, and attempting to destroy the freedom of the press with his vile, she grinned at Daddy,
blackmail.
Like Meg said, what goes around comes around. Daddy and Herman climbed into their limo and left. Vera said to the crowd of AVA vampires,
Thank you all for your help. Free blood on the house back at headquarters.
They split up, heading for cars. The Bobsians just stood, expressions of confusion on their faces. Vera said,
You too, if you'll be good.
They brightened and took off into the dark.
Vera said,
Come on,
and led Meg and me to, of all things, Sammy's old Volkswagen Bug.
When we pulled up to the four-story building that housed the AVA, Vera punched the remote control and the doors to the first-floor garage opened. But before she could pull in, a crowd of people flooded into the opening. The headlights revealed tattered clothing and dirty faces. They looked a lot like Meg had when she was living in the wild. They surrounded the car and rocked it. Then they chanted,
Traitor! Traitor! Stake the traitor! 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 Stake the traitor!
The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't murder me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.